Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the program. Recently, we have had folks on from the Michigan Education Association as well as the Michigan branch of the American Federation of Teachers. They're not for the legislation that would allow for more charter schools in the state, and they also aren't supportive of more online learning, and we've been talking about that over the past year or so. I get different points of view from this, and you recently wrote an interesting point of view in the Detroit Free Press as a guest writer, and the piece was talking about how outdated thinking stands in the way of online learning. What made you decide to write this piece and tell us about it?
Well, I've been researching online learning for the last couple of years, looking at what schools are doing with regards to digital learning, using, you know, individualized, customized instruction for students, and then using online tools to also expand the options that are available to students. So create more access for students regardless of, you know, where they live or what school district they attend. And so it's a very digital learning has a very large potential to change the dynamic within education. You know, a lot of what we've been doing in education is limited by time and place. And with these new digital technologies, we can expand access to more students, to excellent instruction, and we can give them the kind of individualized attention that we've been trying to provide them for a decade.
Well, you write that there are several misconceptions about digital learning. The concept of placing kids in front of a computer and expecting them to learn turns some people cold with the idea of digital learning. I've heard from the same people that you have, hey, these kids are put in front of a screen. They have to wait on hold to get a question answered. And if you look into this, that's not the case, is it?
No, absolutely not. And I've gone and visited several online schools, some that are full-time online, some that are a blended environment where some of the instruction is done face-to-face and some is done over the internet. And the thing that amazed me at first was that both students and teachers told me that they felt more connected in those kinds of environments to each other than in a traditional brick-and-mortar classroom. And as I thought about it and looked into it more, it actually makes a lot of sense because in an online environment, a digital environment, there's no hiding in the back of the classroom with your ball cap over your eyes. You have to interact with the teacher, and the teacher has to interact individually with every single student. And so in many ways, it's more personalized, and there's more interaction between teachers and students in those kinds of environments.
And it seems like the key there is the term blended learning. You write about Berrien Springs and Sutton's Bay here in Lansing. They're just starting to use it, but it's not totally just putting the kid in front of a screen and leaving them there. It's a combination of learning. And when I was talking to my kids about this, they kind of liked it. My kids are very comfortable on a computer with an iPod with technology, and they like the idea.
Yeah, I've seen that same response from a lot of different students. You know, they're using this kind of technology all the time in their lives now, and you know, for the most part, many schools have basically told students to, you know, completely power down when they walk into a classroom or walk into a school building. And I think that's not necessarily the right approach to this. I think the right approach is to leverage these new technologies and use them to advance student learning. The students get excited about it and they like it.
You write that the legislature should eliminate related seat time requirements. What is that?
Well, basically, the way that schools are funded, they're funded on a per-student basis, and so a district gets a certain amount of money based on how many students are enrolled in that district. And the way that it works is that in order for a district to receive funding for a student, they have to be physically present in the district on a certain day. That kind of requirement doesn't really fit well with online and digital and blended learning because it doesn't require students to be physically present in a classroom on a given day. And those kinds of rules and requirements discourage school districts from embracing some of these new technologies because they're worried they're not going to get funding for the students that they offer these services for.
All right. Well, it was a great piece. Folks can go to the Michigan, the Mackinac Center for Public Policy and just pull up Michael Van Veek and you'll see his great writings. Michael, we talk about education here a lot. We appreciate your time. We'll talk with you again soon.
Thanks for having me, Tony.